So, hello. It's me, Pablo, interrupting you at the very top of the show to tell you that we originally aired this particular episode, which I find particularly excellent and particularly moving, back in October, at the start of the NHL season, with our friend and hockey reporter, Emily Kaplan. It's about a Columbus Blue Jackets goaltender who you may have heard about over the summer when he died tragically. And in this episode, we hear his story. We come to understand how his team is honoring his memory, and we learn how he saved a teammate of his one last time. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Tuesday, January 18th. This is ESPN Daily. Emily Kaplan, the Columbus Blue Jackets are opening their season tonight at home against the Arizona Coyotes. The Blue Jackets' starting goaltender is a guy named Elvis Merzlikins. Tell me a bit about Elvis.
Elvis is 27 years old. Firstly, he's one of the best personalities in the league, but he's also a rising star in this league.
Emily Kaplan covers hockey for ESPN.
He comes from Latvia, a small country of less than 2 million people bordering the Baltic Sea. Last year, there was only 4 Latvian players to play in the NHL. It's a pretty big deal that he's here.
Puck handed here to Abdelkader. Right back. Oh, Elvis moves laterally to make the stop there on Filppula from point-blank range.
The Blue Jackets feel great about him as part of their future. They just gave him a 5-year, $27 million contract. That said, Pablo, this year he's playing for something much bigger.
Tonight we are getting new insights into the deadly fireworks accident in Novi that took the life of NHL goalie Matias Kivlinex.
Multiple 911 calls reveal the panicked moments immediately after it all happened.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Emily, you're here today with this story that I noticed as it crossed wires on the 4th of July. But because it was the holiday, I think this was the case for a lot of sports fans, it kind of got lost in the shuffle, even though it was utterly, completely heart-wrenching. This is the story of two teammates on the Columbus Blue Jackets, teammates and fellow countrymen, actually, Elvis Merzlikins and Matias Kivlinex. What made you want to tell this story?
Well, Pablo, I was reporting on the story as it happened, and the details were just horrific. But everyone I talked to, whether it was teammates of these guys, friends, people in the league, they talked about how tragic it was because of who these guys were and the relationship that they had. And so I realized that there was this deep human element of the story. And I want to know details of what happened, but I more so want to know how it affected them. Because, you know, when these stories happen, we give it so much attention in the moment, but it's so hard to follow up and ask, how are you doing?
Yeah, I didn't know a lot about these guys at all. So let's start here with Elvis, Emily. How long has he been in the league? What should I know about him?
Well, firstly, I know the one thing you want to know. And yes, he was named after Elvis Presley. His father was a fan. And for a guy whose name is Elvis, he definitely lives up to the name. And when it comes to personality, he's really fun, chatty, engaging. His dad actually died when he was 3. He was raised by a single mom in Latvia. Definitely humble beginnings.
How would you describe your childhood in Latvia?
It was interesting. Material-wise, my mom was struggling. She was obviously trying to give to me and my brother the best life as she could do it. I didn't even think to go for hockey. And there was just one random day that I was looking at on TV. National team was playing hockey. I see the goalie and I see those big white pads and I fell in love and I wanted to try it.
Elvis got his start playing for the Swiss Pro League, and he really excelled there. He was twice named the goaltender of the league there. It's one of the top leagues in Europe. He signed with the Blue Jackets in 2018. By then, he was NHL ready, and he debuted two seasons ago.
And Matisse, what about him? What was his journey to the NHL like?
Matisse took a different path. He came over to America when he was 16 years old, and he worked his way up through junior hockey. He was playing in places like South Dakota and Wisconsin and Minnesota. The Blue Jackets signed him in 2017. It was always his dream to play in the NHL. And the Blue Jackets, they're known for having one of the deepest goaltending pools in the entire league, and Matisse was someone they were really excited about. He figured into their future.
So if Matisse was super psyched to join the Blue Jackets, what was Elvis's reaction initially?
Elvis's first question was, who the hell is this guy?
Columbus really took Matisse, and I didn't know who is this guy. I wasn't worrying about him, but I was just wondering how, like, this guy came from nowhere.
Latvia hockey is so small and so proud, and it was just confusing to him because they, you know, Matisse was in North America. Elvis got his start in Europe. They're paths didn't really cross, but they had a training camp together. They had a national team camp together. And once they got to know each other, it was just instant.
For his age, he was really mature. He was more focusing on the hockey and the hard work and on the job instead of maybe going to the bar or having a good time. So that was really nice. From that moment, he was like really my little brother.
I want you to take me back here to January 19th, 2020, because we're at Madison Square Garden, the Blue Jackets are on the road facing the Rangers. Why was that game and that night so significant?
So Elvis was given the night off, and they called up Matisse Kivlenyks so that he could make his NHL debut. He was going to get his first start at 23 years old.
Kivlenyks is in net for the Blue Jackets, making his NHL debut. The word was he was nervous, but hey, he's settled in now. Warm-up is over.
It would mark the first time there was ever a Latvian goaltending tandem in league history.
When Elvis talked to you about that game, what did he say?
Well, firstly, Elvis remembered his NHL debut, which was a 7-goal output by Pittsburgh. He said he was so nervous he shit his pants. and so he wanted to make sure that his friend wasn't quite that nervous. And Matisse was. But at the first commercial break, Matisse skated over to the bench where Elvis was, and he just gave his friend some words of advice and comfort.
When he came to the bench, we were talking. I was explaining him. I was telling that he's good. He's doing everything great. Just relax and just have fun. And then that's what happened.
Matisse Kivlenyks with a big stop.
How did Matisse actually play that night?
Oh, he was incredible. He did not crap his pants. He had 31 saves, and the Blue Jackets won.
And the game is over. The Blue Jackets have won their fifth straight game, and they pour off the bench to Matisse Kivlenyks. His first National Hockey League victory happens in Madison Square Garden.
After the game, Matisse was just so happy. In the NHL, sometimes teams have this tradition where they'll give like a silly prop to the player of the game. And for the Blue Jackets, it's this like fedora hat. So they all give it to Matisse in the locker room. He's wearing the hat. And you could just see everyone around him is so pumped for him.
Kimmy, first career win, and you get the hat, bro. Yeah! Honestly, I still can't f***ing believe, boys. But like Cam said, Bjorki, great f***ing job. And I honestly couldn't done this without you guys. So thank you. I appreciate it.
What did that mean to him?
It meant a lot. It meant really a lot. I was really proud and happy for my friend. And I remember that he was all the time saying thank you to teammates. He was saying thank you to the guys who was blocking the shots for him, for defensemen. I remember he came just in the plane and said thank you very much. He was really happy. He was, for him, it was like, I'm not saying like winning a cup, but he was really, really happy.
So he has this hat, he has this mentor in Elvis, and that relationship off the ice between Elvis and Matisse, how did that grow?
So it grew significantly. Elvis asked Matisse, you know, you're on a minor league salary. There's no reason that you should be paying for your apartment. Why don't you just move in with me and my wife? We have an extra room anyway. And the three of them just became the Three Musketeers. It was a really cute living situation.
I have extra room. I'm going to be more than happy to having you with me, playing PlayStation, watching movies with my wife.
You know, Elvis hates horror movies. Alexander, his wife, was asking him to watch them for years, and Matisse would stay up late and watch horror movies with Alexander while Elvis would hide in his office.
They had a bromance going on. It was like I was the third wheel. They would go shopping together. They would cook together in the morning breakfast before practice. And I would be just like, guys, you're having a bromance.
Matisse would clean the dishes. He'd also walk the dog, the Cavapoo, Kobe, without even being asked. So the three of them just became this little family unit in Columbus.
This past season, Emily, in 2021, the Blue Jackets missed the postseason. And so in May, Matisse actually got this chance to play for the Latvian national team in the Hockey World Championships, which was being held back home in Latvia. And Elvis, who's watching back in the U.S., what did he tell you about how Matisse played?
Elvis said watching from home, he could tell that Matisse was improving drastically. He looked like a different goalie out there. He had confidence.
I looked out every single game in World Championship. He was a different goalie compared to the year before. He was really more mature. His technique was much, much really better.
This tournament is being played in Riga, and I'm not going to say this was like a miracle on ice moment, but there's a pretty big moment that happens for Latvian ice hockey because Matisse is the starting goaltender when they play Canada, the big world power. And again, Latvia is a country of under 2 million people, only four NHL players last year, not exactly Canada, and Matisse plays lights out. He makes 38 saves. Nothing is getting past him. And they upset Canada.
And they've beaten Canada for the first time at the World Hockey Championship. A 2-0 victory.
Shutout is always a big thing for a goalie. Shutout in World Championship is even bigger.
Okay. Just imagine. This is this young, bright, ascending star in the NHL, an affable kid, and he does that. He is just such a local hero.
After the World Championships, what did Matisse do?
So obviously he wanted to stay around to spend some time with friends and family, but it was always his intention to come back to the United States that summer. And specifically, he kept talking about this July 4th party that was being hosted by Manny Legacy, their goaltending coach. It was going to be in Michigan. He said, I don't know when I'm coming back, but I will be back for this party because I can't wait.
What was the plan for Matisse and Elvis that day?
It was a sunny day. It was actually a backyard party at Manny Legacy's house, and his daughter Sabrina was getting married that day. So it was this dual celebration. Everyone was just in a great mood. Matisse and Elvis were looking around, and they realized just how many friends they had made in the United States. Elvis said that Matisse would go off and socialize on his own, and he'd always come back to find him. And each time, he'd bring him a gift, whether it was a beer or a shot or a cigar. They were just having a great time. It was going into the night. They were playing a basketball game in the pool, and then everyone cleared the pool in the evening because they were going to do some fireworks, which has been a staple of Manny Legacy July 4th parties for the last 17 years. Elvis noticed that he couldn't find his wife, Alexandra, and Alexandra's very pregnant. She was due in August.
I was pregnant, so I was like, I'm just going to go sleep because I do not want to be dealing with anything. And I woke up, and they were having a huge party. So then I walked out when the fireworks were happening, and I was standing like in the back of the house. And Elvis wasn't even with me. He was sitting with Manny, and Matisse was sitting in front of me.
Elvis finds his wife, and he gives her a big hug from behind. He hugs her pregnant belly, and she's like, look at Matisse over there.
She told me, he's stupid. I said, well, why? What's wrong? Look how close he's sitting by the fireworks. I was, well, yeah, that's not good, but he wasn't the only one there. There was four guys sitting on the edge of hot tub and watching the fireworks.
Elvis remembers looking at Matisse and seeing him pointing into the sky, looking at the fireworks. And then there was a bang and just a flash of green.
I took down my head to give a kiss to my wife on the neck, and I see all green color coming on us. And obviously the first reaction, I try to block the fireworks from my wife so it doesn't hit the baby or her. And I push her in the house right away.
So he goes out into the backyard, and there he sees a body lying on the ground. And by the tattoo on the back of the body, he realizes it's Matisse.
What was Matisse's condition when Elvis discovered him?
He was conscious. He was lying there, and his body looked normal. He had a cut on his lip from falling off the hot tub, presumably. But other than that, Elvis said he looked normal.
Obviously, the first thing I see, he was totally fine. He had nothing. He had little broken lip because when he felt on the ground. Little blood on the lip, and that's it. No broken leg, no broken fingers, nose, whatever. Everything was fine.
He knew that Matisse's biggest fear would be, can you play hockey again? Can he play hockey again? And so Matisse was comforting him, saying, you're fine, you're fine. You're going to play hockey again. You're going to be fine. Even though Matisse was lying there, it was very apparent he was having trouble breathing. Someone called 911.
What's the problem there, ma'am? Fireworks misfire. Is he conscious and talking to you?
Is he conscious and talking? He's conscious.
Okay, hold on for a moment, ma'am. I'm going to put you through the paramedics, but go ahead, hold on.
When they were loading Matisse into the ambulance, Elvis said, I want to come with you. And the paramedic said, no, you can't come in. And Elvis said, well, do any of you speak Latvian? If he's going to speak, it'll be in Latvian. I can translate. And they wouldn't let him into the ambulance. So Elvis followed in his own car to the hospital. They're waiting there in the waiting room for, you know, how these things go. It feels like forever, and they don't have answers. And finally, the doctor comes out, and Elvis says at first he starts asking them questions, and then he starts talking in doctor language.
He starts talking in doctor language, I call it, because I didn't understand anything. But the first thing where he said, well, he passed away right in the ambulance before we took it off. And we were, yeah. And then we realized, what? He passed away? Yeah, I'm sorry, he passed away.
Elvis is standing there, and he can't believe it. He wants to throw up. He can't think. He can't see. He just can't believe that his friend died. And the doctor said, yeah, he passed away right in the ambulance before we took off.
We'll be right back.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
So, Emily, Matisse Kivlenyk on July 4th, 2021, this 24-year-old goaltender, he passed away because of this incident involving fireworks at a party in front of his best friend and fellow goaltender on the team, Elvis Merzlikins. What actually happened there?
So the autopsy revealed that Matisse died of blunt force trauma to the chest. But what actually happened, we still don't quite know. Even Elvis doesn't really know. The police who investigated it have said the entire time that they believed it to be just a tragic accident of one of these mortar-style fireworks just tilting slightly and firing into the crowd. But that police report has never been made public, and they handed it over to the prosecutor's office in Oakland County in Michigan to see if they wanted to press charges. And here we are 3 months later, and we don't have any determination on that.
So what did Elvis do on that night at the time after he learned that his best friend had passed away?
Well, he had the unenviable task because he's standing there and the police are saying, you have to contact the next of kin.
I asked the officer, can you do it? Well, he said, well, why can I do it? Said, your son just passed away. Well, she's not going to understand me. So you have to do it.
Matisse's mom, Astrida, is back in Latvia. He tracks down her number. She's on her way to work. It's the morning in Latvia. Elvis asks her to pull over. She can tell that something's wrong. She said, Elvis, what is it? What is it?
And I told her, I have no idea how to tell you, but Matisse just passed away. And she was like me. She was, oh, wait, what? I told her your son passed away. And then inside my head, I'm realizing like 45 minutes I was drinking with him. Then I was holding him. He was dying in my hands. So I was kissing already dead body. And I had to call his mom and tell him her son is dead.
Emily, that is all obviously unbelievably awful and tragic. How did Elvis deal with it?
So the next day, the Columbus Blue Jackets sent a contingent up to Michigan. Their coach, Brad Larson, the team psychologist, and a few others. And they're just telling Elvis, whatever you need. Elvis himself is worried about himself, of how he's going to handle this. Am I going to be able to play this season mentally? But he's working with the team and processing his grief. And he did see that psychologist, which he said was helpful. They held a memorial service 2 weeks later. The team hosted it. It was a beautiful event. And Elvis got up there, and he said it was really cathartic to speak.
Matisse was my little brother. I'm happy that in this life I told him everything what I could. Every single day I told him that I really love him. When it happened, I was standing 20, 30 feet back of him and I was hugging my wife. He saved my son. He saved my wife and he saved me.
He told the entire crowd that he believed, because Matisse was struck by that firework first, that he actually not only saved his life, his wife Alexandra's life, but also the life of their unborn child.
And so 1 month after Matisse's death, Emily, this is back in August now, Alexandra and Elvis, they have a son. What did they decide to name him?
So this is their first son, and they named him Knox Matisse Merzlikins.
There we go. Yeah.
That was the way they wanted to honor their friend.
We believe that we should keep Matisse in memory, and he was supposed to be the godfather of our kid. So we thought that calling him Matisse was the right thing to do.
He was so close to us. He really was as our little brother. And then saving and giving us the chance to meet our son. there was no doubt. Like, we decided right away that we can have that name because we don't want to forget about him. We're never going to forget about him.
We're now in the present tense, Emily. The Blue Jackets, they're opening their season tonight at home in Columbus. How do they plan to pay tribute to Matisse?
It's going to be an emotional night. This death reverberated not only with the team, but with the community. Matisse's family is coming in from Latvia to drop the puck. They're going to retire Matisse's jersey up into the rafters. And the Blue Jackets are going to try to honor their former teammate and friend the best way they can, which is playing as hard as they can.
And how does Elvis personally plan on honoring Matisse this season, Emily?
Well, goalies in the NHL are allowed to have custom masks, and Elvis commissioned one which honors Matisse, who has the number 80, which was Matisse's sweater number, with angel wings on either side of it. He also has high, lofty goals. He wants to win the Vezina Trophy, which is awarded to the top goaltender in the NHL this season.
My goal is to win Vezina. That's my goal, and I'm not going to let anybody come in my way to destroy my dream or goal to reach it, because I dedicate this season for him.
So, Emily, when you watch Elvis tonight and throughout this entire hockey season, what's that going to look like? What's that going to feel like?
It's going to be hard. The one thing Elvis doesn't want is for people to pity him. Grief is something he has to live with. It's something that so many people have to live with. And he's found a lot of strength in playing for his friend. And remember, it's not just his friend and his teammate. This is someone he considered his little brother, somebody who he wanted to be the godfather for his son. Elvis recently was just listening to voicemails that were left on his phone, saved from Matisse, and how difficult it was. But he also finds strength in his friend's memory, and he's going to bring that all with him on the ice.
Emily Kaplan, thank you for sharing the story of these two friends. I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.